Welcome to Whitefields Church Podcast. Our focus is to help you grow relationally, emotionally, and spiritually. I hope you enjoy the message.
How many, just honestly, I was just thinking about this morning, just don't hold back when it comes to your eating habits around the holidays. Just be honest. Okay, I'll be the first one. Okay, good. The other people are not very honest, or you are very committed. God bless you. I want to come to know you better. It's just because the reality is the way you look at it. It's like because the new year is coming and you feel like, hey, there's that magic date coming, you know? And so I can lose my weight then. And that's all right. You know, I'm not saying just make sure you know you stay committed to whatever it is. But speaking of being committed to things, and Pastor Mark pointed out some things also about health, people making plans. Anybody making health plans? Just a show of hands. Anybody has health plans right now, like planning to do some improvements? 1, 2, 3. Okay. All right, you guys are a lot more simple, folks. All right. One thing I can tell you, don't say, and I've talked about this before, don't ever say, we'll see what happens. Whenever you do that at any time, you're setting yourself up for failure. When I counsel couples and I say, when you're going into the marriage and you're like saying, we'll see what happens, you're already setting up yourself for the failure. You have to stay committed and say, I want this, and this is what I'm going to do. Last March, I made a commitment about running because I just wanted to improve my health overall because, well, I had a health scare. I thought something was up with my heart. And anyways, but I started running, and it doesn't matter what weather condition and everything. I'm telling you, there's something about it when you see the finish line and you say, I'm going to go for it. You know, it doesn't matter. Stay committed. Anything you do requires commitment. Amen? The other day, I ran in Fred Meyer, I ran into a friend, and I'm like, you know, speaking of health, and I'm like, huh? I'm like, you look great. Like, have you been working out? By the way, one of the greatest questions you can ask a man is, have you been working out? You'll just look at the reaction immediately, the response. They'll start contouring and all of a sudden, like, sucking something in and, like, oh, they just can't stand still. Just test it out. Woman, you can test it out on your husbands. Well, you probably know more than when they've been working out or not, but it's true. It's incredible. But there's nothing, it's the reality. It's just there's nothing men love more than to be complimented on their physique. It is really, really an interesting thing. So be mindful of that. Encourage one another, husbands, wives, encourage one another to make better healthy habits. And I believe that, you know, because there's people that they're like, oh, yeah, we're full of faith, you know, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. But the Lord has given us our bodies to be temple living. That's where the Holy Spirit dwells. And we're responsible for that. And plus, you know, It's healthy. You'll live longer. And so I personally am not a fan of exercise. I never was. But I've learned, I learned to embrace exercise, realizing sometimes that routines are actually connected to your results. Would you look at that? That you actually, if you eat less and exercise more, you will actually look better. You know, who would have thought? But our resolutions, a lot of times, they just seem to be very simple, right? Whatever it is, like you might be analyzing yourself right now and be like, okay, be fit. It's very simple, right, to say it or to set a resolution or be bold. How about be spiritual? Anybody wants to be more spiritual this year? All right, all light, all right, good. That's the priority. And if you want that as a priority, I'm going to buy you coffee. Because that is your greatest asset in your life, personally, is to be more spiritual. But the reality is the implementation to the solutions, right, of the solutions in our life is that's what's more difficult. We can have a plan, but the execution part is the difficult part because commitment is required, okay? Just like, you know, on the box of whatever you're assembling, they'll put, like, assembly required. I believe any New Year's resolution that you're doing, or if you're listing them, put the first thing on top of that list, commitment required. Commitment required, amen? Yeah. Somebody say commitment. Yeah. All right, we'll wake you up. Good. Everything requires commitment. And by the way, there's some people who do that, and they'll make a commitment or something, and they immediately like have to post it, right? It happens with physical or spiritual. Like somebody starts working out and they take a picture of their sweat on the floor. You know, they're like, yeah, new year, new you. It's like, give it a couple of weeks, you know. Do your reps in the secret place. And people will notice results. That's the reality. And I realize that works for physical and spiritual. Like the more time you spend with the Lord, you don't have to post about it. People will notice. I remember this girl in college. She was Christian gal. One of the things she said, it was just pretty funny, but she was like, God cares what I post. And I was like, yeah, I like that. Yeah, you know, you should care about what you're posting, right? But then she's like, I need Jesus to see my post. I want that I'm reading the Bible, right? And then it's just funny. At least she was honest, right, about it. She was like, yeah, she said it. I need people to notice that I'm reading. And then she corrected herself. I need Jesus to know. So, but here's my challenge. Because we make all sorts of different challenges for ourselves. But put your Bible app on the first page of your phone, iPhone. Or an Android if you're not saved. I mean, just put, we get everybody. Pastor Mark the other day switched to iPhone. It was a big deal for me. Now I know those texts are in blue, and I know when it says delivered, I'm like, I know for a fact you got that text. No escape. He's like, I'm going to switch back to Android. I'm kidding, guys. It doesn't matter. Just put Bible app on your first phone. And you know what the second thing you should do? Delete apps that are stealing your time. Or if you want to kind of like gradually move your way in, but sometimes you got to be radical. But turn off your notifications. You know what that is? It's that red little thing that shows up over your app and it says 25 notifications. Like these things are like birds of the air. You know, the reality, that's just information, right, that we have. And if we're not careful, we will lose everything that God has given us. And a lot of times the word of God is being spoken and we'll just get distracted by the littlest noise, right? That's what happens. So I'm just challenging you. Put the Bible app on the first page. Do your Bible plan in a year. It's very awesome. And if you don't want to read it, guess what? Have a Bible being read to you. That's what I do. I usually do the whole Bible in a year. I do it where the Bible is being read to me. By a beautiful, you know, whatever person who's reading, they have this nice accent. Plus, it's smooth. It's so nice. And you're jogging or whatnot. And do it on the fresh mind. Start off early in the morning. One of the things that habits that I do now and I've established already, I would say a couple of months ago, where as soon as I pick up my phone and I immediately, the first thing I do is I open up my Bible app. Just even while I'm resting, I'll play and I'll put audio and I'll listen to the word of God. And it's so amazing that you're starting your day not with like, what just happened? Is there a World War III happening or whatever? You're starting your day focused on the word of God. And so many times, is whatever I read in the morning so happens to be such a perfect word. And you go up, show up to work, and you're like, man, I'm so glad I read the word of God today, because I would have had a peace of my mind and told you, but the Lord already warned me and he has already tamed my heart. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a beautiful thing to see. The word of God has power. It is his words. It's the same word that we read that spoke things into existence. Think about that, right? It's God's word. Amen. So challenge for 2025, be more spiritual. Prioritize spiritual health. Just put that as your priority and see what happens in 1 year. Just I challenge you, for you and your family, prioritize spiritual things and see what happens in 1 year. You'll be amazed. Matthew 6:33, just to give you as an encouragement, this is just a starter, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, right? And all the things will be given to you as well. God cares about all the things that you need. Trust me, he does. He cares. But if you prioritize, if you seek first the kingdom of God, those are Jesus' words, and his righteousness, that means things of God, the rest, what? It will be given to you as well, okay? So I just start that out for you, and I put that right on the front of your list, okay? So now that we got this New Year implementation, like an encouragement out of the way, I want us to dive into the Word of God, amen? So let's pray. So Father, I just thank you for what you're planning to do in this room this morning, Father. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that your Word would touch every corner of our heart, every aspect, Lord. Let it circumcise, cut away things that do not need to be there. And Father, I pray that you would shine your light on all those things that are getting in the way of us to move forward, Lord, in the things of God. So, Lord, we love you, we praise you, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. I think of it that this year, like never before, we need to be more spirit-minded and see things with our spiritual sight rather than our senses, because our feelings and our senses are oftentimes deceiving. And the reason is, if this is important to have spiritual eyesight, is because when you don't recognize when the enemy is attacking you most or where he's attacking you most frequently, if you don't ask God to shine the light or give you insight on the level of your greatest vulnerability where you keep slipping all the time, you will spend all your energy fighting the battles that you shouldn't be fighting them in the beginning, right? You're being more prepared. You're inviting the Lord and say, Lord, how would you like me to move throughout this day? How do I do this in this situation in my life? And I look at it this way, and I'm like, man, if I could just learn from this last year, right, and not step on the same rack again over and over again, but like go and pick up that rake, you get the image, right? We step in and we just bam. Why is it happening to me? The Lord's like, well, let's start it with me. Let's do this together, right? And so I know this is the part of the message that we don't like, to get challenged on things. But the Word of God, that's what it does. It challenges us. If you come out here just to hear that, oh, don't worry, everything is fine, just be you, just do you, you're going to walk out of here feeling maybe encouraged for a moment. But guess what? But sometimes you don't know what's going to happen on a Wednesday or Thursday. And you're like, Lord, I need your Word. I need you every moment in my life. You're realizing that I'm acknowledging God in all of my ways, and He will direct my path. Amen? So we need Holy Spirit to guide us. Not to react on what's happening on the inside, on the outside. Rather, listen to the Holy Spirit and what is happening on the inside. And the Holy Spirit's like, don't do it, Vic. Don't do it. Don't say it. Just give it a 10 seconds, and you give it a 10 seconds, and you're like, I'm so glad I didn't say that. I would have eaten those words, right? The main context I want to start out with is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. We're going to land on 31, and I'm going to give more scriptures throughout as we go. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. So if you ever feel like a fool or you feel dumb, I want you to put this passage, print it out, and put it on your fridge. And so many times, this is, I'm just speaking about myself, I'm like, ugh, bonehead, why did you do that? And the Lord brings me this to the scripture often, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things. Wow. And the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. So next time you're questioning yourself, you're like, I'm a nobody. Trust me, there's so much more in that, because God loves to operate in simple things. When you are decreasing, He's increasing. When He is being elevated, it is no longer you, it is the Christ that's living in you, right? It is because Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. All those powerful things, righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. So if you're gonna boast about something, boast in God. You know, sometimes there's people that just boast about the Lord, and some people are like, you're just saying it. You're just saying it. There's people that just put up a front, but then there's people that genuinely do that, and I honor that. And the older I get, the more I understand, it's like, that person's got nothing else. You notice the consistency. He's always boasting about the Lord, and it's a very encouraging thing. So the title of my message today is Brace for a Breakthrough. Today I want to talk about how God will take someone who looks weak, like we talked about, we just read, and use them to demonstrate his strength. And often God wants to use the weak things of the world to confine the wise. That's what we just read about. That's what was happening in the early church when they were getting established. And we're going to get to Hebrews 11 here in a moment. But the author of Hebrews, he's encouraging the church to get stronger as it's facing more resistance. Anyone ever asked God to give you more strength? Anybody? I do, okay? Because that's the way you get stronger, right? When you feel more resistance. And that's why we can't get frustrated when a trainer puts weights on our bar when we're trying to train, right? Sometimes the direction that God points us to in our spiritual development frustrates us. It does. It frustrates me. Even though that is the very reason that I came to him in the first place was for him to make me stronger. The Lord's like, you want to get stronger or what? What are we doing, right? You know? It's like, no, Lord, I want you to just open the door. That's how we often do it. And the Lord is like, I can open that door for you, but you won't be able to handle what's on the inside if you're not prepared. And that's what the Lord is doing. He's preparing us as we enter into the new season, right? He's like, you want to make progress? Guess what, Vic? You're going to have to train. You're going to have to go through some stuff. Now I get this thing. As soon as I experience any kind of difficulty in my life, the first thing I do is I'm like, I don't go like, this is the devil. So we give credit to devil too many times. The Lord's like, I'm not even involved in this one. You're giving me credit. Like literally, the Lord's like, no, you're growing. And I'm telling you, every time I face difficulty right now, I was like, Lord, what are you trying to speak to me? Somebody could just burst out at me and say some things that are just completely just off the chart. And I can immediately react, or I can ask the Lord and say, Lord, what can I learn from this? And 90% of the time I noticed in my life, and especially in the last 2 years, every challenge has been a setup by God. Because he will take all things, what the enemy meant for evil, he'll turn it for good. God is so sovereign, he loves doing that. Psalms 119:71 says, my suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees. How amazing is that? Next time you hit a suffering, look up this passage. My suffering was good for me. Wow. It taught me to pay attention to your decrees. Meaning, if he's at the forefront of your life, so whatever it is that you hit, you will know you're doing it with him. It's like, Lord, what are you trying to say through this, right? So when you ask God to strengthen you, don't be surprised when he puts some weight on you. That's why the title of my message is Brace Yourself, right? Brace for a breakthrough. I want to take a look at the church in this New Testament. As I mentioned, they're struggling. They're dealing with immense persecution. They just started off the get-go, right? And they're in the midst of the struggle. And the author of Hebrews, he's speaking strength to their struggle. He's going through a list of different people throughout the scripture, people who didn't look strong, but who God used to accomplish great feats of strength. It's very amazing. He's using these illustrations because that's because they're still a young church. They don't have fully what it takes. And imagine that, right? You're just being established, the first church. You don't have your nonprofit status. I mean, you don't know, like, and the church at that moment was still considered a cult, literally, and they would be persecuted. And so it's just starting to get traction. And then the author writes that. And the thing is, but with that, with any time you're establishing, comes more resistance, right? More persecution. So author of Hebrews is just listing off some things, and so they could draw encouragement from that. The people that didn't look strong, right, didn't look big, but who God used so powerfully. It's considered a Hall of Faith chapter. Consider it that way. Hebrews 11. I'm just going to read 32 through 34. And what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, not that Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel, and the prophets who through faith, listen to what they did, conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames, of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in the battle and routed foreign armies. I mean, I want to be in this club, right? Whose weakness was turned into strength. But this phrase often puzzled me because, and I'll tell you why, I don't want to argue with the author of Hebrews, whoever he is, because it's not known. Some people think it's John, you know. Other people say he must like coffee because Hebrews. I mean, it's a dad joke, you know. I don't know. But whoever he is, I'm like, I get it, right? There's all these lists. For example, Samuel. I totally understand why he brings him, Prophet Samuel, right? Samuel's mother was unable to conceive. She finally conceives. Then she dedicates him, Samuel, to the Lord. And he was placed in the wicked temple system. Back in the day, it says this, the word of the Lord was rare. And so all these things that are happening, but then the Lord raises him up. And God uses Samuel to illustrate how he can come into a barren situation, right? And redeem the broken system. I mean, that's a beautiful, that's just a message by itself. This is beautiful. David, okay? We went through so much of David this year. And I understand why author would use that to mention him. He's an example of somebody that was like excluded from the roster, right, of kingship. Like he wasn't even invited when Prophet Samuel showed up to even appoint them or look at the fellas. But he rose to greatness, to great things. It just shows an example, you know, be faithful in little. God will, if you're just faithful and committed in little things, God will raise you up. So I get David. Then speaking of delivering people, because that's what David began to do, then we look, and that's what the whole book of Judges is about. Then Gideon, right? I get Gideon. I love Gideon. A lot of times, me personally, I ask God for signs. I'm like, Lord, is this from you or not? I need to make sure it's you. He was hiding in the wine press, right? And he didn't want to expose himself. And so he was pretty much like, oh, Lord, that's not me, not sure. But then God uses him so powerfully where he goes out with just 300 men, right, and does awesome things for God. And it's very such a beautiful thing. Barak, that guy, he was from tribe of Naphtali, and he even, like, he was a simple dude, but he needed some assistance from a woman. Like, right, Deborah was just like, you need to go do this. Like, God set up Deborah to push Barak into doing some things, and he was a decent judge. Then we have Jephthah. I'm just listing off people that we just let in the Hebrews 11 right there. Jephthah, he was the son of a prostitute, but he became a mighty warrior, which is very awesome. And the Bible says that he was like kicked out of his own house and he was surrounded by worthless men. But it's not what surrounds you, what determines, right, where God wants to move you in your life. But he ended up being used powerfully by God, even though he thought he didn't have it. So I get it. That's weakness into strength. Again, right? Powerful. Which then leads me to the one and only Samson. Everyone knows that name. A few weeks ago, I began talking about him. That's what prompted me to do this message for this one. He was known for his strength, right? And of course, he was known for that bad haircut. It's true, right? What happened? And people will usually define you by your worst mistakes, because that's how we know about, you know, about Samson. Now, again, I'm like, Lord, how is he in the list of weakness turned into strength, right? He was such a strong dude. One time he was just on his casual walk, walking, and just ripped a lion in half. Talking about supernatural strength, right? One time he lost a bet, and so he had to go give 30 outfits of clothing, you know, rather than going purchasing them wherever, from Target. He decides to go and, like, annihilate, you know, kill another bunch of people and get it from them. So he did everything in strength. And it was strength that came from God. And even one time, he took a jawbone of a donkey, and he literally killed 1,000 Philistines. Think about that, right? That's what happens when God is with you. He can use a donkey jawbone. It doesn't take much. When you're being used by God, it doesn't matter. You can go and do a lot of great feats for the Lord. So I start to understand. I'm like, huh, okay, well, he did a lot of amazing things, but that doesn't make sense because he started out strong, but he's ended up weak. So we get all this, a whole bunch of list of people, right? And so Now I'm like, when you call Samson's situation strength to weakness, right? Because he lost his strength. He broke all the three things, which was he was not supposed to touch anything unclean or unclean body or whatever. Don't drink any alcohol as a Nazirite, right? Or cut your hair. Those were the things that were given to him, right? Which were three things that were coincided with his miraculous birth. That's what gave him strength. But here further on in chapter 16, verse 19, I'm like, wow, well, that's a major dud. After putting him to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair. And so began to subdue him. And right here it says, and his strength left him. Maybe you're in a season right now where you feel like your strength has left you, right? You are in an unstable environment, wherever it is, and you're vulnerable to the enemy. When you're unstable, it's easy to get pushed over. It's true. I remember after getting my ACL surgery, and I had both of them, but my first one, I remember, doctor wanted to stabilize my balance, or I should say my physical therapist afterwards, right? And there's a thing called stability ball. Maybe you've heard about it, which is so funny because it's like, it's the most unstable thing, right? If we're talking about a stability, shouldn't something be not a ball but a square, right? And I was like, you're trying to keep your balance, and I'm like, what is happening? How's it called a stability, right? But what's happening is that stability ball or unstable ball is creating an unstable situation to stabilize your weak muscles, okay? And that's what causes you to regain your strength. So it's easy to get hurt when you're unstable, okay? You can be easily pushed over anytime when you're knocked off. If you're just completely relaxed, somebody comes up and just pushes you, you fall. So we need to get stabilized. So can somebody say stabilize? Stabilize. Stabilize. All right. So the nation of Israel in the book of Judges was strong, but they were unstable. Okay? They would serve God for a little while, and then they would serve the idols for a while, or they serve themselves for a while. So they just kind of went back and forth, you know, just flip-flopping. But the reality was they never lost their strength. I mean, this is some message for someone right now. The reality is you didn't lose your strength. The reality, they didn't lose their strength. It's just that they lost their stability, okay? You got to be stable to be strong, all right? And I'm telling you, perhaps somebody needs to hear that your source of stability is not found in your inability or your disability. It is found in your availability before God. It's just like, Lord, I am here and I don't know what to do. It's about your availability to the Lord. Amen? So I'm just telling you, God is trying to strengthen your faith through these challenges that you may be facing and to grow you on the inside, build up that faith within you, right? That is not shaken by the storms. It's just that with us sometimes, we're like, yeah, I'm feeling strong. But the moment we hit some kind of a challenge, we're like, I give up, right? And I'd say snowflake Christianity is what it is. We just want to always have things our way. We're like, blab it and grab it. Lord, if I say it, this needs to happen. And people misuse the word of God for their own benefit to how they want to see it fit. But the word of God is like, you want to walk in my ways, you got to submit to me. Submit to my word. Amen? And we're wondering, you can blab all sorts of things of statements out of context in the scripture, but the reality is if the word of God is not a continuous diet that's stabilizing you on the inside, any little storm will shake you off balance, anything. Your kid will get sick and all of a sudden you'll get frustrated. You're like, that's it, where are you, God, right? So the problem here, Samson was an unstable deliverer to unstable people. So it's like a double whammy, right? I think about it, there's not much show, but it was one fella, telling me, he was like, he was on the stable fella. And even as he was saying, he was using profanity, I'm going to bring my girlfriend to the Lord, you know? And I'm like, you need to come to the Lord. Like, you're not even the stable. You cannot pull somebody out of the swamp when you're standing in the swamp, right? And so that's the reality. And I'm telling you, this is something important to be planted in his word. Matthew chapter 15, verse 13 and 14 says, he replied, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them, they're blind guys. Like, some people that you're letting people sow into you. I'm telling you, we're wondering sometimes what's happening. Why is this happening to me? The Lord's like, look around you. Who are you surrounding yourself with, right? It says, leave them. They're blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. So simple, right? If you aren't planted or stabilized by the Heavenly Father, you will be just uprooted, right? It's just, it's unshaken. The wind comes, knocks you out. Israelites were unstable and went through many judges. That's what they were going through, right? Because they weren't planted in God. And God was like, I want to be your king, right? And so they kept going back and forth. What they were stable was, they were stable in their instability, if you want to put it that way, right? So Joshua actually was sounding the alarm years before the book of Judges, before the judges came around. In Joshua chapter 24, he said, verse 14 and 15, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. He's like, this is before the book of Judges, right? Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day who you will serve. Whether the gods of ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me, but ultimately, it's like, I can warn, but as for me, you're making that decision. As for me, right, and my household, we will serve the Lord. That's so profound. He's warning, he's like, be mindful. Because what happened was Israelites were like, we serve the Lord. I'm going to keep my little idol here. That's what we're talking about. We're sometimes reflecting on our life. We're like, why did I keep struggling over and over again? And the Lord is like, well, you haven't dealt with everything. You're keeping your little pets here, little hidden things that like your sins with benefits that benefit you only for temporary. And then you're like, I can't let them go, right? And God is like, well, why are you doing it? You're struggling. You're unstable. So, but Joshua's like, you got to make it. You're like, you're either in or out, right? Stop flip-flopping, right? Choose this day. It reminds me of James chapter 1, verse 5 and 8 says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God. So if you're just struggling, whatever it is, again, spiritual eyesight, what I mentioned in the beginning, right? It says, ask God, and who gives generously to some, to all, right? To all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, but there's a big but, right? Must believe. That means your faith is so crucial in those things. That's why people can take things out of scripture, right? Stuff like that. Hey, I can ask God about anything. But it says, but when you ask, you must believe, right? Your faith needs to be involved. That's why spiritual health is the most important health, both most important decision you will make this year and moving forward. It says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave on the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. It's addressing to the same person that's like unstable, right? That person should not expect to receive anything, say anything, anything from the Lord. Such person is double-minded and is what? Unstable in all they do. Wow. Maybe you're here saying, I am weak, right? I'm not fit to be a parent. Of course you say those things because you never had a perfect example in your father. And God gets that, right? You're assuming that you're weak is just because you've just never been stabilized. So change your perspective today in the name of the Lord. When I think of America, when I think of strength and the highest level, I think of America. I'm so thankful for this nation. I came here, immigrated here, and I pray for this nation. I pray for our president. I always do. But it will never be great without God. Never, right? What makes a nation great, what makes it, is if it's stabilized in God. Amen? Look at this. Proverbs 14:32 says, godliness makes a nation great. But look at the second part. It says, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Sin will destroy anything, right? One of the things I wanted to do was I wanted to check these four pillars, I call it, for our life in the light of Samson, just looking in his light right now. Ask yourself, are you stable in your emotions? God gave us emotions. But the question is, do you own emotions or do they own you? Huh? Right? Samson had a very passionate, emotional passion, right? But he spent it on his preferences, right? That's in the Judges 13 through 16 if you want to read through those chapters. Because of that, he ran to something he was supposed to deliver, right, his people from. But he ran to the one who was supposed to deliver people from. He ran to that. You know what I mean? Second question is, are you stable in your commitment? That's a really, really important one, right? If you consult your emotions to determine your commitment, you will never be stable. Feelings are fickle, right? Do not trust your feelings. Three things Samson was told not to do. He still failed, right? Because what? He wasn't committed, okay? And if your commitment doesn't align with your assignment, even your achievements will feel empty. And you're like, I did this, but I still feel don't right, right? Because your commitment didn't align with your assignment, okay? Samson lost his strength because he lost his commitment. So are you stable? The next question is, are you stable in your relationships? Samson got in trouble by listening to wrong people. All right, check yourself. Check your surroundings. You catch what you're close to, amen? In this season of your life, if you want to be stronger, you cannot be led by weak people. You cannot be led by weak people. You cannot have weak people influence your life. Sometimes it's the holiest thing you can do is delete certain contacts of your phone. How can I do that? Well, if that's what it takes, if you don't know how to not say no, you know, sometimes one of the greatest things you can do is to be able to say no. I do not need that in my life, right? Think about it, right? Samson didn't listen to the loved ones that loved him, right? His parents. And he fell in love with people that actually hated him, that wanted to destroy him. How profound, right? If you put your head on Delilah's lap, don't be surprised if you wake up bald or without strength, right? And you're like, what just happened? This is comfortable. This is comfortable. Next thing you know, you're like, I got no strength. Feel like you ate just a bunch of junk food. At the moment, you were eating is great, but then you're like, I feel like garbage, right? You feel weak. And the fourth one is, are you stable in your belief? It's one of the most important ones, right? And the thing is, it was only after he couldn't see that he finally was able to see. That he finally got it, right? And it's sad because that's the reality. God forgives, but the biological responses to our decisions, they follow us. Someone can make a baby somewhere out of the wedlock in their sin. God forgives, but you're still responsible for your action, right? So, you got to be stable in your belief. Think about it, right? After they cut his hair, he lost his strength. Then he lost his stability. And then he lost his sight. Kind of reminds me of what enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? He's after just complete destruction. And they gouged his eyes. That's what they did. For those that don't know, read that story. It's very profound. It's very intense. That's always the mission of the devil, steal, kill, and destroy. And it's also, it exemplifies the sight. Because ultimately, devil wants you to lose the sight of what you originally set your mind to, right? He wants to gouge out your eyes so you would be blind. And as you're walking, the blind is leading the blind. You're like, you're just talking to people who are being led by emotions. And just people that are just the most. And then you look back and you're like, wow, maybe I need to change my friends. Because certain friends are detrimental to your health, right? And your spiritual health. 20 years, right? He was on the run. 20 years he could see, but he couldn't see. He was physically, he was able to see, but he couldn't see him, what's happening behind the story. So he was running around doing his own thing. And that's why the strong became a slave now. Now let's look at 16... Judges 16, 25 through 30. So while they were in high spirits, they shouted, bring out Samson to entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple so that I may lean against them. There's so much symbolism in here, and it's like, what do pillars represent, right? Well, pillars stabilize the building, right? Now, the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there. And on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. I don't know what they were having him perform, but I mean, like, can you believe that? Just like, maybe they forced him to do something. They made him perform. You don't even know. It's like, you think, what a shame, right? What weakness. This was their tough guy, and we have him, right? And I want you to see this, how it was in his most vulnerable state, Samson accomplished his greatest victory. Samson was blind physically, but he could see spiritually, right? And the strength was coming back, because when you start finally realizing, say, Lord, I did this without you, but now I'm doing it with you, right? Even if it's in a different environment, you may have slowed down the process of where God wanted you to be by this point, but God is like, I can work with that. He worked with Samson. He worked through so many people in life where they were like, wow, I thought that was weakness to strength, right? Strength to weakness, that's what we were talking about. How is that even possible? And I'm just telling you, God is a God of second chances. Your strength is coming back. You're not weak. You're strong. You just need to get stabilized. And your stability comes from God. Then Samson prayed to the Lord. You could already tell. I mean, Samson had time to grow with the Lord. Now he's in this difficult situation, right? Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more. And let me, with one blow, get revenge on Philistines for my two eyes. I love that. He's like, for my two eyes, Lord. He was a good-looking, he was a ripped guy. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe he wasn't ripped, but I just know he was strong physically, how he appeared. But he's just, there's still the physical aspect of him. It's like, they took my eyes, right? But there's such a profound thing, is because that's where the Lord wants you to be. This is because when the devil took your vision, your eyesight, the most important thing, because when you have vision, you know where you're going. Think about it. Even when you close your eyes, you can't go for such a long period of time. My mom was blind for 27 years, and she kept bumping into things. It's difficult. She would always have, like, bruises on her face, you know, from getting hit by different shells, whatever, and things like that. Vision is important. And devil, ultimately, steal, kill, and destroy. He's after your vision, your full vision, your focus, which needs to be only on God. And here in this weakness, in this such a weakness state, he's crying out to God, right? And he's like, Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more. God will always have his way. He's so amazing. Then Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood. There's so much symbolism involved here. And I believe those two pillars in our lives is prayer and God's word. Those two things that you need to attack anything from the enemy, right? That you'd be able to push through. And I think it's so also profound looking at these three aspects, right? Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Think about another Trinity. There's so many triune references in the Bible. Where did he choose to place the Holy Spirit? Where's Holy Spirit dwelling? Within you, right? It says you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So when you have God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is within you, right? You got the Word of God, and you're praying. And whenever you're doing that, you can be able to accomplish so much. It's just so amazing, so profound. So what does Samson do next? He says, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. What are you going to do, right, when the storms rage? Friends forsake you, maybe family, friends you've been praying for. What are you going to do when you don't know what to do? You brace yourself in God's word and prayer. Amen? Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Then he pushed with all his might And down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. When God moves with you, man, you will cover so much more, right? Thus, he killed many more when he died than while he lived. That is one of the most profound things, because some people find God at age 55. I've seen people that find they're at age 65 in their older age. But what they're able to do, it doesn't matter. He will always restore the years the locusts have eaten. He will always restore what the enemy took, right? He will always take what the enemy meant for evil and he turned it for good. And he will always give you for that time frame what you needed to do, right? It is so profound. It says, thus he killed many more than rather when he lived. He thought he had a lot of things done. But when there's full commitment, when there's fully all in God, I'm all yours, you're going to be able to do so much more with the strength from him that comes only from him, that comes through reading his word and praying. And I'm telling you, read God's word and pray this year like never before. Stabilize yourself spiritually, amen? Because I'm telling you, you got to be all in. Until we die to our desires and our flesh. I'm going to just reference a couple of scriptures here towards the end. John 12:24 says, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. You won't be able to do much. You will just live by yourself to yourself, right? It says it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. That's what happens. It's the moment we finally realize and die to everything that has been keeping us captive for so many years. God is like, I can do so much more through that. Through your pillars, you'll be able to push down and just enemies not even seeing it coming. Because it's no longer, God is not against me. He's for me, right? He is with me, amen? Luke 9:23 says, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 14:33. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Sobering thought. You can't really fully be a disciple of God until you say, God, I'm all in. Like everything that I do, everything what I think, say, and do, and you're encompassing that aspect of my life, right? And that's why I believe God is preparing us. He's saying, brace for a breakthrough. The moment you begin to implement those things, the moment you begin to prioritize spiritual things, all things will be added. I guarantee you. God's words are yes and amen. His promises are true. They don't come back void. God is like, I'm going to send it, and everything that I've spoken to you over your life through the years, it will be done. It can be done the moment you surrender fully to him. Amen? So I believe God is talking to us because he's the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Whatever he started, he's going to bring it to completion, right? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And Jesus is like, I was persecuted. Guess what? You'll be persecuted as well. Don't be surprised by that. But we already know what God is doing through these challenges, right? He's stabilizing us. He's strengthening us. We're never going to look at issues, troubles, the same way we looked at them prior to this. Now we're going to be like, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to develop within me? Amen? Because he is the author and finisher of faith. 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. And be encouraged, for my power, God's power, is made perfect where? In weakness. Now, I want to correct again, because we take scripture out of context. We read that and people reference weakness a lot of times to sin. Notice that? We're like, oh, that's my weakness. Donuts is my weakness. Did you notice that? People say that. Well, I want to make sure we understand the scripture right. When it says weakness here, it's not talking about your weakness to sin. It's talking about your weakness, your inability. Yeah. When you say, God, I cannot do it. I cannot resist the devil. Right? But the word is like, God says, submit yourself to God. Then you can resist the devil. Amen? Come on. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest upon me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships. So he's talking about what that is, right? Those physical things. How amazing is that? He's saying that insults, hardships, persecution, difficulties, that means you lose your house. You don't know what was going to happen this year. You can lose access to food, whatever. He's saying you're going to delight in that? How? He says, therefore, I will delight. And more difficult, it says, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. That means it's no longer your own strength. It's his strength, his power at work within you. Amen? Come on. This year, brace yourself for a breakthrough. But it starts out with our whole life surrendering. In the last scripture, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. So now, because of what happened on the cross, he's victorious. Jesus defeated all sin, everything, right? And now, you're no longer doing it in your strength. You're doing it on the focus. You're now doing it out of strength, out of the victory that Jesus already won, right? It says, now the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. He paid already his price for me, right? So now I belong to Jesus because the price was paid for me, right? Last week I talked about he adopted us. You don't get to choose your kids. They're just given to you, whoever they are, right? Adoption, however, is a decision. And the Lord said, I want to adopt you. And now that I have adopted you, now all that strength and everything, the keys of the kingdom of God, now it's now accessible to you. And just like when a child gets adopted, guess what? His name and everything that belongs is now, he is part of that family. Isn't that amazing what God did in our life? I'm telling you, he embraced us. He welcomed us. He's like, now I want to do all these things that I've placed in you. And maybe you've been doubting for so many years where I'm at right now in this season. Am I doing this right or no? And the Lord is like, in that weakness right there of your question, not knowing what to do, is where my power is made known. This is where I can work. It's like, I finally got you to the place where you say, God, I'm all in. And guess what? It's amazing. God cares about all other things. He does. That's why we read in the beginning, it says, seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things, say all these things. Say it with confidence. It's all these things. Amen. Will be added to you. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Now you have the power to crucify your flesh. You have the authority. And one of the greatest revelations, and I want to, if maybe this is the only time you're going to be in church, this church, I wanted to say this to you. One of the greatest things that was given to me in my life, this revelation, because for the longest time, I would struggle with things and I would fight and stuff like that. All various things, addictions, it could be any for anybody. Somebody could be alcohol, somebody could be pornography, whatever it is, right? And I couldn't understand. I'm like, God, how is it? Because, and one time the Lord is like, well, you're doing it in your own strength. Your focus is still on you. What will people think of me? What do I think of me? And it's always centered around you. But when your eyesight changed that, I have hurt the one I love. His love, his first attention is to God. And the moment you understand that, Holy Spirit, I have hurt you when I did this, right? Put your focus on God and you'll be amazed what can happen in your life. When you prioritize God and say, God, I'm going to do it with you this time. And when you fall in love with God, and I believe so many of you, and I believe that for every person in this place right now, to fall in love with God like never before, to come back from and remember to that first love where he first saved you, amen? God is not against you, he is with you. If God is for us, who can be against us, right? Who can separate us from the love of God, right? No height, nor death. Who can pluck me from his hand? Nothing, right? Because it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Lord, just close your eyes all across this room. Lift up your hands to the Lord right now. God wants to bless you this year like never before. He wants to prepare you for all the things that is coming, and he wants to brace you with his power that only comes in your weakness and your full surrender. So, Holy Holy Spirit, I pray every person would be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. As we lean into your word this year and pray, these pillars in our life that are so crucial, so we may walk with confidence knowing, Lord, my strength is not and coming from me. My strength comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Lord, I pray strength for my brothers and sisters in the mighty name of Jesus, over every parent that is concerned, working and through the things or thinking about the future of their children. Holy Spirit, I pray you'd give this peace, supernatural peace, peace that transcends all understanding. Lord, you are the Prince of Peace. So Father, this is what we have. We have all of the resources at our hands because we're your children. We're adopted, Lord, into your family. And Lord, now it's no longer I who live. It's the Christ who lives in me, and with that power, I can move with confidence. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I pray like never before this year, Lord, we will stay committed, and we will not allow enemy to pluck our vision to our eyesight out so we could see and put our eyes on the cross. They've already paid the finish line and move confidently knowing we are walking with you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. I declare that over every person in here right now. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Holy Spirit, thank you for pointing out things that need to go out of our life this year. Lord, I pray that in the Jesus name that we would finally make that decision and just, even if we're not sure, say, Lord, help my unbelief. Help me get rid of this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you. We praise you. We honor you, Lord. We thank you for all that you've brought us through. We are standing here as a testament of your faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless every person as we walk out of here. May we walk with confidence and the love of God in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's clap to the Lord. He is worthy. He has brought us through so much. Lord, you are worthy. Can you say this with me? Say, Lord, you are worthy of all my praise. Amen. God bless you. If you need more prayer, please come up. We'd love to pray with you. But may the Lord bless you. Happy New Year. Drive safe and enjoy.
Thank you for joining us today. Please make sure to subscribe to our podcast. If you'd like more information about our church, please visit our website, whitefieldsalaska.com. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you today.